The people of Six Nations, located right beside Caledonia, Ontario, have repossessed a portion of their land that was guaranteed to them in 1784 in a treaty called the Haldimand Proclamation. On what was a construction site for the development of a new upper-middle-class suburb, the people of Six Nations have repossessed an area consisting of about 130 acres, erecting tents, teepees, a kitchen, campfire sites, and indigenous flags amongst the construction materials and 10 partially built houses by Hinco Industries. For 4 weeks now, the people at the site are working on shifts day in and day out to guarantee the cessation of further construction of their land. Each day, carloads of people from neighboring towns and reserves come in to show their support, bringing supplies such as food and water to the site. Police cars are stationed on the road surrounding the site.
At the time of the recording of these interviews, the police had yet to come in.
Hi, my name's Sharan McNaughton. I'm Onondaga Beaver Clan. I'm 25 years old.
How long have you been at this blockade for, and why are you here?
I've been here for 4 weeks. When I first came, it was just to add support, and then they needed a cook, so I decided that I would take on the responsibility of feeding all the warriors and people in our community so that they would support the blockade.
What would you call it instead of a blockade?
Instead of a blockade, a repossession of our land.
What does this mean to you?
It just shows that our sovereign nations still exist within a country, so it's not really a country that Canada is formulated on. And it makes them re-acknowledge our treaties and our jurisdictional rights of our people so that our future generations here will have somewhere to prosper.
You've had a lot of people like come in and out and so on. What has been the reaction of the people around you in terms of like these cars that are going by and so on?
Well, most people are pretty outraged that the government still treats Indigenous peoples with disrespect. And so they're very supportive. A lot of people in the community here of Caledonia come and drop off food, bring donations, they bring clothing, blankets. A lot of the high school students will come over and support us.
For the past few days, there's been some talk of leaving this area of land for 90 days. What do you think about that?
Personally, my feelings are it's just another tactic that the government is going to use to get us out of here. They're very known for being sneaky and conniving. So what they're going to do is they're going to ask us to leave, and they say that we can come back, but they can block it off. You know, it only takes a few hours to build a fence, you know, to put a barbed wire fence up, and then that stops us from getting in. They can cut us off at the roads that we use to come in here. And so even though it is an open plot, it's just a scheme so that they can push it under the carpet and say, it's ours, you gave it up, you walked away.
And why do you think that some people are supporting this idea of leaving the blockade for 90 days to go into negotiations?
Personally, I think it has a lot to do with just how they feel about the site. You know, they're coming and going, people are always here, but it's mixed feelings about what's going on. There's a lot of fear with, you know, the whole cops coming in and stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, they don't want a repeat of Oka. Oka is a big fear for a lot of people here. Those people who went and seen it, there's been a lot of protests since then, and a lot of them have tried to take different routes, but Oka is the end result that will come of things, and that's people's fear. And so it's easier to walk away than it is to stand up for your rights. And if we don't stand up, our rights get disacknowledged, and eventually they won't exist anymore. So for them, I think it's got a lot to do with their personal fears. You know, we are peaceful people, but it's only until we're pushed around. And once that point is broke, we stand at arms. We're not going to be pushed anymore. And so people supporting it always want to give the benefit of the doubt, because our traditional beliefs say that we need to give three warnings. And so they're trying to follow it. But through history, they've shown that it's just another tactics for them to get us out of here.
In Oka, the blockade continued until there was a complete cessation of the expansion of the golf course. Do you think people are using that as an example to show that if nonviolent resistance continues, then that's when people will make gains?
Well, it's just like the speaker said today, you know, they don't want to give us anything because it's like rewarding bad behavior. But how can they be rewarding bad behavior when they were the ones who acted wrong towards us? And so all we're doing is standing up for our beliefs and our rights and women are the caretakers of the land, and it is our obligation to make sure that there's land here for us. And yeah, they stayed in Oka until the end, but that's because that's our way. We don't walk away. It was the same reason our peoples, like the Haudenosaunee, were never enslaved. It's against our beliefs, and suicide at that, you know, is okay, because you do not enslave another nation. And that's part of the strong foundation of our people, and that's why Oka stayed so long, because they knew that if it came down to it, that they were willing to die for what they believed in.
If you could have a few words with Henko Industries and with the federal government, what would you say to them?
This is our land. We don't mind sharing it, but you need to respect our rights and go through the proper channels to receive those lands. And our land is not for sale.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
My name is Sawatis, or John in English. And I am Cayuga Nation. That's the Great Pipe people. And I am of the Turtle Clan. And I've been here since the 28th of February, and I was the first one to meet their officers at this land reclamation.
And what does this land reclamation mean to you? Why is it important?
It's important because it's what's right and what's wrong. It's what's right and wrong of history, as history has taught people that we are defeated as people, but we're not. We are a sovereign nation, and this land reclamation now is the start of the sovereignty for the Six Nations peoples, which means that our sovereignty is for the non-native societies to recognize us as a specific people, which is Haudenosaunee, and that translates out to be like people of the Longhouse, and that's about it on that.
And so you guys have been here day in and day out, and actually, we can both see right now a police car that is stationed right on the highway, right beside the site, which has been reclaimed. What do you feel is going to happen? What are your hopes and what are your fears?
Well, I don't have any, like, fears. Well, if there's a fear for me, it's not doing my responsibility to our laws and to my Creator. That's the only fear that I really got. But as far as I hope what becomes of this, I hope that there is a better understanding between our race of life and their race of life. Basically, what I wanted to boil down to is them to accept the truth that the treaties that were made before are still legal, and that they should honor them, but they will, according to what I've been shown in my visions and everything. From what I understand, that this land will be ours again, whether it's done through the process of communication or through this evolution that's coming, or whatever you want to call it. But the Creator says that we will have this land back one way or the other.
If you had anything to say to Henko Industries, which is the company that has been developing this, shall we say, upper middle class suburb on Native land, if you had anything to say to them, to the CEO of this company, what would you say?
What would I say? I would say, Seigo. That's hello in the Mohawk language, and Skeno in Cayuga. Then I would probably talk to him about the land that he is so-called claiming, and out of respect that he should do what is right, especially after this holiday with the raising of Jesus and everything. So with everything said and done with that, he should do the right thing by respectfully backing out and accepting the fact that he don't own land. And for him to understand our law says that we cannot own the land, and that explained as that the forthcoming faces, like the unborn children, they're the ones that own the land, and the women are the title holders, and that's why they were given the right to have birth, because they're the title holders. So once he starts understanding that, that don't matter what his government is trying to tell him, there's no way that they could buy the land. So that's what we mean by a better understanding. Now that if he understands that, then there should be no problem. And for a peaceful resolution is for him to accept that. And then he can go back to his government and then force them to reimburse him. But from what I've heard, that he's just trying, I just got word today that he's might be building some other place. So I guess he just don't want to be a peaceful person, you know, because now he's going to be maybe possibly going into another conflict. You would think that he would have learned something by now, that his money has no power when it comes down to it, because we're here on the land. You know, the power comes from that, what makes that light shine, and whatever breath that you take, that is our power, right? And for him to learn, to better understand, and to get back to what our treaties say, that we're supposed to live together, but we are not to interfere with one another's laws, basically is what the agreement is, right? So the more understanding that he has on that, the farther off that he would be able to communicate with us. Like, we're not saying anybody can't just build. What we're saying is, if you want to do some building on our land, then we're the ones that have to have the okay on it. Not band council, but what they call the Haudenosaunee, or the chiefs, and everyone, like our government body, our true government body, which was placed here by the Creator, instead of that was implemented by the federal government. Because we don't want to do business with the bank council, right? Well, what we want is people to do business with our federal government, which is the Haudenosaunee Confederacy Councils. Mm-hmm. And that would be better off, and people would be more enjoyable, and we wouldn't have to have this conflict. Because we're not breaking their laws or our laws. And once the people understand that, like the non-natives understand that we are different, you know, that's why we were given our languages and we were given our way of life. We're all human. We all breathe the same breath of life. But reality has it that we are different people. Just like you have the Chinese, the Iraqs, and Afghanistan, they're all sovereign nations. But we got to include our people in there, which is the native peoples of this land, starting with us, the Haudenosaunee. Is that good enough?
That's very good. Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to send my blessings out to all those people that have supported us, and we have...
I can't say like that. You can't say stuff like that to me. Okay, if there's anything else, is there anything else that you'd like to add? What was I saying? You're talking about the law of peace.
Oh, yes. Peace. That peace that people have to understand. Their idea of peace is different than ours. Theirs is going in there and with the army and then getting their way. That's not how it does. In our way is that all nations are to be equal, to an understanding to where nobody wants to go to war. And that way there is peace. That it'll be done through communication and through the ability to understand what is right from wrong. And that's the difference between their peace and our peace. Our peace is more like the gentleness of God himself. That's how we as Native people live within the creation. We just live within the laws, and that's what the great law of peace is. It's how you walk in balance with the world You know, like you walk softly and gently upon the Mother Earth, and you're supposed to help your brothers and sisters. So with that said and done, and I guess they got a little bit to learn to understanding of what peace is really about. And then that's what we want to do in the United Nations is when we get there. We have to offer this peace, this message of peace from our Creator. As was started a long time ago with the unity of the five nations. So if it can unify the five nations, then imagine what it can do with the whole world. Right? Yeah.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And I guess today is that for their prophet, their Jesus. So just wish everybody a happy Easter. And one of these years, I'm going to get that rabbit that leaves all them eggs.
My name is Butch Thomas, a Six Nation resident and a native iron worker who has been working throughout the states on various jobs and come home to work. And I am faced with this dilemma in Caledonia, which I think it seems to be going a little bit in our favor. And we have a lot of support right now from outside areas, because it's known worldwide what's going on here, what's attempting to go on here.
So what do you think about what the government is proposing? Today there's been a lot of talk about folks picking up and leaving because there's a 90-day offer to stop construction. What do you think about all this stuff?
I don't think it's a good position to put us in to leave anytime till we see something tabled in writing saying what the government's going to do. We can't live or move on promises like we did in the past. And the government has broken those promises and reneged on any deals that they have so-called threw our way.
So you think that the government is not negotiating in good faith?
Not at all, because they know the rightful owners of all the native land that we have claims on. We should not have to go through the court system to reclaim land that is already known that we are the rightful owners.
There's a lot of people that have been coming out to support, as you say. People across the continent in the Americas are hearing about it. And some folks are talking about different European bodies that have heard about it. So what do you think the importance of this stand that people are making in Six Nations is for the land and for justice? What do you think about the importance of it for everybody?
I think the situation right here is going to set a real strong precedent for indigenous people throughout the world, not only with the conflict we have going here. All natives in surrounding areas have some fight going on with the government or with some multinationals, whether it be big or small. It all concerns what happens here, and we just hope it's a peaceful ruling in our favor.
When one of the Confederacy chiefs was talking about how the government has been offering to give over 6,500 acres here and another 30,000 acres here and all that. What's your view on that?
That's a far cry from our 950 or 980,000 acres that is rightful ours on this Haldimand tract.
Do you have any like particular thing that you would say if Jim Prentice, the Minister of Native Affairs for the Ontario government or the OPP, if they came up right now, what would you say to them?
Get away from our land.
Is there anything else that you want to say?
My concern right now is the government trying to strong arm and order the OPPs to move in and start evicting us, which I think would be a pretty silly thing to do, being as how the government has dealt very unfairly with the natives, and it's still new in the history books, and I don't think they're going to start another page this early. I'm hoping they don't anyway.
Right now, the government has been dealing with the whole situation of the Ipperwash inquiry. Do you think that there's any impact on that in the way that they might react to what's going on here in Six Nations?
I don't think everything, all the truthful stuff didn't come out in the inquiry or the investigation in Ipperwash. Only what the government wanted to come out in their favor. And then they come out with a movie on it, and I think that movie's a farce. I'm sure it didn't happen the way they're showing it to have happened.
My name is Bon. I'm Mohawk from Six Nations Reserve.
And maybe do you just want to tell people a little bit about why you're here at Six Nations at this blockade?
I'm just here to support my people and the children to come and the native people. I see all this land being taken away from us. Canadian government selling land that they don't own and can't produce an ownership for. And we have the proof. We have the actual Haldimand deed written on rawhide leather. And that's why we're here.
Today, people were talking about this 90-day moratorium on construction in exchange for people leaving the blockade, and that didn't turn out to be what folks at the blockade decided to do. But what were your thoughts on that? How would you have felt if that had been the decision?
That was my thoughts exactly, that we shouldn't leave. Why would we leave our own land? Because if we did leave, the government's done that before when they agreed that they would, and that's what they do, they just put everything in talks, and then 10 years down the road, nothing's happened, and the building keeps going, we keep losing more and more land, and then another 10 years goes by, and we put another roadblock up, and they do the same thing, and one non-native was asking me why we waited so long to initiate this, to try to stop this, but we've only been trying for 200 years, so we're still trying. The government already sent a man here from the government to on a fact-finding tour, but the Confederacy chiefs told him Canada already has the facts, and they know the facts, and they haven't dealt with us honestly or truly, and it would be nice, but probably not going to happen, that they would ever deal with us honestly. And so we just have to stay until something happens.
In terms of what this blockade represents for First Nations across the country, a lot of people have used the word precedent when they're talking about things that are going on here. Do you feel that this struggle for the land is important to other Native communities as well?
Yes, I believe it is, and precedent setting, and it should be. And because all across Canada, all Native people have to fight every day, man. You listen to the radio every day and you hear the struggles of every Native community in every province of Canada has to go through that instead of just being treated fairly. That's all. That's all we want.
Is there anything that you want to say to our listeners in Montreal about ways that they can support people out here in Six Nations at the blockade?
I would just like to see people come out and support us and just be here and visit and for an hour or a couple hours or a day or a night or just come to visit and sit around the fire and get relaxed. And it's just a good feeling here. And I'd like to thank all the non-Native people here from universities and just non-Natives and just everybody just that's coming out to support us. And it makes us realize that we're not alone.
Just anything to add?
Just that the Canadian people have this perception that they are looking after us and that they are giving us this money and they are funding this and that. And when in fact we have treaties with the Canadian government and that money is not given to us from the taxpayers. It's money that is owed to us. But the Canadian government doesn't tell the Canadian taxpayers that. For some reason, so people in Canada think that we are they're just looking after us, and in fact they're not looking after us. That is owed through treaties, and Canada has treaties with numerous other countries, United States, Japan, China, which they honor the treaties, but they will not honor the treaties with the Native people.
My name is Beautiful Garden. I am from the Bear Clan, and I am Ganyant Gahaga, which is People of the Flint.
Okay, and do you want to just tell our listeners a little bit about why you're here at Six Nations at the Blockade?
Well, I'm here because my role is as Rodziskarewage, as a man, is to make sure the women, children, and elders are safe, and to defend ourselves if we are being attacked. And that's what's happening here, is they're threatening to attack us.
A lot of people have described this blockade as an occupation. Do you think that there's anything problematic about that description?
Well, yeah, I do, because this isn't an occupation. This is actually a reclamation, meaning we're reclaiming something that's already ours. And this isn't in dispute, because it's in a treaty, the Haldimand Deed, which is recognized by the Crown and thus the federal government. So yeah, there is no dispute here. All it is the non-Native who squatted on the land.
There was talk earlier today about a 90-day moratorium on construction, but that would involve folks who are here at the blockade packing up for those 3 months so that negotiations can continue between Six Nations and the federal government. What do you think about that as a strategy on either side?
Well, that's just another way of trying to get us out of here. And because Canada doesn't feel they should reward this kind of activity. But really, this is the final straw for us. You know, this wasn't our first strategy at all. And the fact that this is peaceful is, it leaves Canada, you know, kind of like their hands are tied, because they're in the wrong either way. And we're going to remain peaceful, and we have remained peaceful until they actually cross that line and come in to invade us. Because we are two distinct societies. We are sovereign nations. And no nation has the right to force their beliefs on another nation. Anywhere else, that would be considered an act of war.
Do you want to maybe talk about the Great Law and how it is relevant to what's going on right now at Six Nations?
Well, the Great Law is Gayanadagoa in our traditional language. It means the great law of peace, and that's exactly what it is. It's our ancestors sat down and discussed with the peacemaker what it is to be peaceful and what it is to have a peaceful society. And it's just really common sense. If nowadays we sat down and talked about that, I'm sure we could hammer out a similar type of constitution. And that's what the great law is my people's constitution, as well as our spiritual beliefs intertwined as one. And I believe that's one thing that the world is missing out on, is that combination, that marriage, that's so essential to being a conscious human being or participant in this universe, you know, of that good. The only way to survive is to live in peace and harmony and to mimic nature, because nature is the most natural thing that has you know, existed since time. So it's only natural that we act as natural as we can.
Do you maybe want to talk a little bit about the role that you see youth playing in this movement of people here and also elsewhere?
Well, if anybody cares to know about a seventh generation prophecy, it's available on the internet. Just type in seventh generation prophecy and you'll see that in our beliefs that it's this generation that's here now, the youth, that are going to bring about that change that in the world, that world peace, that peace. Pretty much we're living it right now. And like I've mentioned before, anybody that wants to participate in it can just, you know, become a part of it. Just becoming aware of what's going on, distributing that information, talking about it with your friends and family, or going out to information pickets or whatnot, you know, being aware is a lot more than, you know, not being aware. So also another fact is to realize that, seeing how it's in the prophecies and that it's going to work out, that, you know, being a part of it would also be part of history for all time, you know. So, yeah, it's time for change, and it's time for unity, and it's time for world peace.
I wanted to get back to the way that the media is presenting this blockade as being a violation of Canadian law and the criminalization of the people who are here defending their rights. I just wanted to hear a little bit about what you thought about that media spin and the way that the police have been dealing with demonstrators here.
Yeah, what they're going to try and make us out to be criminals, because if the whole entire public knew that we're actually a sovereign nation, and that, you know, we shouldn't be dealing with the municipal government or provincial government, this is a federal matter, and that if they, or when they recognize that as so, they're recognizing us as sovereign nations, and then the dominoes fall, meaning that then we start talking about the lands that they stole from us, all the illegal lands that were supposedly signed over by individual chiefs that were corrupt. Because in our ways, you need, there's proper procedure to do that type of thing, which is you need all 50 chiefs come together and decide on matters of, like, importance that's going to affect all of us. And the fact that they got like five or like a few chiefs to sign deals and land, that's all illegal within our constitution. So technically all the lands and traditional territory of my people still belong to us, meaning that we didn't have that sense of ownership, but yet more of the role of caretakers of it. And, you know, the animals, they need a place to live too. With all the deforestation and pollution, you know, I think it's our time as Ungwehue, as indigenous people, to stand up and start protecting our Mother Earth.
If Jim Prentice, the Minister of Native Affairs, or members of the OPP, or Stephen Harper were to come out here right now, would you have anything that you would want to say to them?
I'd say hi, and that I'm glad to see that they came out. And that, you know, they see the faces that are here, that they're not faces of monsters. We're people just like anybody else, and we're concerned people. We're concerned for the land. We're concerned for each other, you know, and that just the fact that, you know, we don't want this to escalate. We want peace. And, like, it always, like, I think one thing that we forget in all of this is that, you know, we have, some of us over here have children, And also on the other side, they have children. And so if anything were to happen, you know, that may be something that will affect that generation. And I think that's what we need to see, that we're not just playing politics here, we're playing with people's lives. And also that we're not going anywhere, because this is, rightfully, just belongs to our future generations, and their survival depends on that as well.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to say to listeners in Montreal or the world at large?
Well, first I'd like to say Nyawa Goa, thanks to everybody for listening, and you're listening to this program for a reason. Nothing happens by accident, and whatever you decide to do with knowledge, then, you know, follow your heart and intuition. And I just want to say, love one another. My name is Beautiful Garden. I am from the Bear Clan, and I am Ganyang Gahaga, which is people of the Flint.
Okay, and do you want to just tell our listeners a little bit about why you're here at Six Nations at the Blockade?
Well, I'm here because my role is as Rodziskarewage, as a man, is to make sure the women, children, and elders are safe, and to defend ourselves if we are being attacked. And that's what's happening here, is they're threatening to attack us.
A lot of people have described this blockade as an occupation. Do you think that there's anything problematic about that description?
Well, yeah, I do, because this isn't an occupation. This is actually a reclamation, meaning we're reclaiming something that's already ours. And this isn't in dispute, because it's in a treaty, the Haldimand Deed, which is recognized by the Crown and thus the federal government. So yeah, there is no dispute here. All it is the non-native who squatted on the land.
There was talk earlier today about a 90-day moratorium on construction, but that would involve folks who are here at the blockade packing up for those 3 months so that negotiations can continue between Six Nations and the federal government. What do you think about that as a strategy on either side?
Well, that's just another way of trying to get us out of here. And because Canada doesn't feel they should reward this kind of activity. But really, this is the final straw for us. You know, this wasn't our first strategy at all. And the fact that this is peaceful is, it leaves Canada, you know, kind of like their hands are tied, because they're in the wrong either way. And we're going to remain peaceful, and we have remained peaceful until they actually cross that line and come in to invade us. Because we are two distinct societies. We are sovereign nations. And no nation has the right to force their beliefs on another nation. Anywhere else, that would be considered an act of war.
Do you want to maybe talk about the Great Law and how it is relevant to what's going on right now at Six Nations?
Well, the Great Law is Gayanadagoa in our traditional language. It means the Great Law of Peace, and that's exactly what it is. It's still our ancestors sat down and discussed with the peacemaker what it is to be peaceful and what it is to have a peaceful society. And it's just really common sense. If nowadays we sat down and talked about that, I'm sure we could hammer out a similar type of constitution. And that's what the Great Law is my people's constitution, as well as our spiritual beliefs intertwined as one. And I believe that's one thing that the world is missing out on, is that combination, that marriage, that's so essential to being a conscious human being or participant in this universe, you know, of that good. The only way to survive is to live in peace and harmony and to mimic nature, because nature is the most natural thing that has you know, existed since time. So it's only natural that we act as natural as we can.
Do you maybe want to talk a little bit about the role that you see youth playing in this movement of people here and also elsewhere?
Well, if anybody cares to know about a seventh generation prophecy, it's available on the internet. Just type in seventh generation prophecy, and you'll see that in our beliefs that it's this generation that's here now, the youth, that are going to bring about that change that in the world, that world peace, that peace. Pretty much we're living it right now. And like I've mentioned before, anybody that wants to participate in it can just, you know, become a part of it. Just becoming aware of what's going on, distributing that information, talking about it with your friends and family, or going out to information pickets or whatnot, you know, being aware is a lot more than, you know, not being aware. So also another fact is to realize that, seeing how it's in the prophecies and that it's going to work out, that, you know, being a part of it would also be part of history for all time, you know. So yeah, it's time for change, and it's time for unity, and it's time for world peace.
I wanted to get back to the way that the media is presenting this blockade as being a violation of Canadian law and the criminalization of the people who are here defending their rights. I just wanted to hear a little bit about what you thought about that media spin and the way that the police have been dealing with demonstrators here.
Yeah, what they're going to try and make us out to be criminals, because if the whole entire public knew that we're actually a sovereign nation, and that, you know, we shouldn't be dealing with the municipal government or provincial government. This is a federal matter. And that if they, or when they recognize that as so, they're recognizing us as sovereign nations, and then the dominoes fall, meaning that then we start talking about the lands that they stole from us, all the illegal lands that were supposedly signed over by individual chiefs that were corrupt. Because in our ways, you need, there's proper procedure to do that type of thing, which is you need all 50 chiefs come together and decide on matters of, like, importance that's going to affect all of us. And the fact that they got, like, five or, like, a few chiefs to sign deals and land, that's all illegal within our constitution. So technically, all the lands and traditional territory of my people still belong to us, meaning that we didn't have that sense of ownership, but yet more of the role of caretakers of it.